what up, everybody? What's going on, man? You already know what it is. Slow Kenny, man, back with Doc. Another episode of the Over-Exaggerated Podcast. And today we got a good one for you guys, so stay tuned. Stick tight to your seats because it's about to be a wild ride. Look, today is not only about to be a breakdown of the NFL. We're going to be talking a little bit about college as well. A lot of y'all been asking for the content, man. We got to bring it to you. And I think it's important because we're, what, about 4 weeks deep into college? 3 weeks deep into the NFL? Like,
yes, sir.
We not here. A quarter of the way through, but we're getting there. So you know what I mean? It's important that we bring up the hard-hitting topics. College first, guys, because that's where we start. Saturdays is where our weeks start. Weekends start with college football. This weekend, last weekend, however you want to look at it, it was a tale of the tape. A lot of good games all the way through and through. I mean, you could bring up, what, the Utah-UCLA game if you want to start there. Great game, super close, no Cam Rising, but wasn't it Cameron Ward, I think, something like that? Dope quarterback out there doing his thing. I mean, you could go as far as bringing up the Ohio State game or meeting in the middle with the Colorado game. And there was a few other games. I know I'm leaving out. I'm going to try to pull them up on my computer real quick. But I think the Colorado game was probably the best, easiest way to start, probably the longest topic we'll talk about the college. Maybe I do want to cover that Ohio State game a little bit. That's why I got the hat on today. You already know what it is.
Oh, get the memo. Man. I would have popped out. Messed up.
It's good, man. I don't want everybody thinking it's just bias gang over here. You know, we obviously got a love for the Buckeyes, but Cam is the one who has a lot of knowledge just on college teams in general. But let me shut up while I look at these teams, man. And Cam, just go ahead and get your thoughts about Colorado going into the game, not even just the game as it went on.
Going into the game, you know, I was definitely a fan of what Deion had going on. It was my whole life. I've never heard Colorado college football being a place to be worried about, you feel me? So the fact that Deion came in from Jackson State, put him on the map, got his son doing good things. They got a few wins out the gate that nobody really expected. And you feel me? The hype machine got turned on, Bleacher Report, ESPN, all these college football pages. They took over the world almost in one night. You feel me? Coming into the Oregon game, I felt like they were a really good team, but I also felt like they hadn't been tested yet, for real, for real.
No, that's a fact. I mean, you could argue they had been tested that week before. You know what I mean? They definitely played a closer game to, Colorado State and Nebraska, even. Colorado State was definitely giving them a run for their money. I mean, it was the Battle of Colorado. You know they were going to want to play that close. Nebraska came in there. I mean, they're a Big Ten team. I mean, they want to do what they do. And obviously, Oregon putting the smackdown on them the way they did, just, I mean, it does kind of shatter their hopes of being, what, a playoff team, even?
I mean, the way they got beat was, it was probably illegal in like 48 states, to be honest. Like, it was an ass whooping of ass whooping, bro. Like, but no, like, you feel me? A lot of people definitely, you feel me? You see somebody get whooped like that, they fell out of the top 25 and everything. I still think Colorado can shock some people with some wins down the line. You feel like Oregon's a good team. I feel like we all found that out that day. You feel me? Nobody knew until they got on that field. You feel me? I feel like going in this game against USC, the hype kind of died down. Colorado can kind of get focused on improving, fixing what they need to fix. I'd be worried about the noise happening all over the place outside and everything, and really try to give USC a better game than what they gave Oregon. I really think a lot of people sleep on what they can do against USC because what Oregon did to them.
I don't know. Is Oregon that much better than USC? I mean, like, we don't even know the coach of Oregon. That is a coach in Lincoln Riley. Obviously, Lincoln Riley defenses are built to score on. You know, there's a lot of teams, like Arizona State was out there putting up points on them over the weekend. Like,
come on.
And even that was a great game. Like, Arizona State gave USC a run for their money. Obviously, Caleb Williams and them ended up pulling it off, but it's just the point. Like, Colorado may be even more outmatched than they were this past weekend. Yeah, now they're coming in a little bit more battle-tested. Do they have Travis Hunter back?
I don't think they get him back this week.
2 weeks without Travis. The biggest weeks of, I mean, like, did Oregon and USC send that kid a check who took him out, man? I don't know. But I do see them going in there playing a little bit better. 6 points is abysmal. I do think that Caleb Williams is going to do what Caleb Williams does. I mean, he's going to go in there with a chip on his shoulder just to show. I mean, like, Caleb is still a black quarterback in this system trying to do what he does. You know what I mean? And, like, not saying he's just coming at Shador for that fact, but I mean, hey, there's a little bit of a rival going on. Let me say, yeah, like, bro, we gotta put on, and you know what I mean? Like, I'm still just as dynamic as Shador is. You know what I mean? And a lot of people are forgetting that while Shador is throwing 4 touchdowns, I could throw 5 in the same week, and I did, and I'm not getting as much coverage, you know? And I think that the prime effect is really going to have a toll, not only on Bo, just how it did on Bo Nix, it's going to have the same effect on Caleb Williams. And he's already had that chip on his shoulder the whole time of his career, taking it all the way back to Oklahoma. You know what I mean? Coming in for a guy who wasn't better than him. He's always had to deal with people who weren't better than him getting this type of shine. You know what I mean? Like, he had the same thing when it was the big three, DJ, Bryce, and CJ, not getting as much clout as them. He had to go out. He had to go out to LA where they're from. He had to go out to their home state. You feel me? Went over their fans.
Bro, because he thought of it in that
light. He's the real deal. He reminds me of Jalen Hurts in a way, just the way he has to go through a lot of adversity, just even though he's super good at the end of the day. So, not to have a Caleb Williams rant, but man, it's just I feel like what we have to deal with going into this game. A lot of people are just going to be like, oh, Lincoln Riley going to take out Deion. And like, Deion is going to go in there and he's going to have to, I see them scoring at least 14 on that defense, maybe 21, just because of how easily Lincoln Riley's defenses are scored on. But that doesn't mean 21-45 still looks like a blowout, especially depending on how USC puts up those 45 points. Are they putting them up in the first half, the second half? Is Caleb Williams throwing for 400 yards? Or are they sitting him because he's doing that good? Like, who knows? So,
well, that's why I feel like it is a different game, just because, like, if Colorado can get that ball first and take USC's defense right down the field and put 7 points on the board, even if they put 3, like, just that mentally for the team, but you're gonna get on that sideline like, oh, wait, we're not the team that got killed by Oregon. We're Colorado. We're Prime's team. And either that starts getting in your head, now you're going into the second quarter, say 17-10 USC. Like, if you have a chance and you're Colorado, that's all you're asking for. Like, Oregon was just flat out. It was like from the gate, everybody knew, oh, yeah, these two teams shouldn't even be on the field with each other. With USC, what you're saying, that prime effect, I ain't really take into account. I ain't really think, you feel Caleb Williams sitting there in the locker room, you know what, no. Somebody come out and we're going there.
We'll be in Colorado, too, so that's a little bit different. Like, ooh. I know going out to Oregon, it's a whole lot of green, and you think you're seeing money until you're seasick out there. You know what I'm saying? Like, so, I think moving forward, though, Rutgers, Michigan, I'm looking at that game. Hey, it was a game for the first quarter or two. Like, Rutgers thought they had something going, and then Michigan just turned it on.
Man,
Georgia getting another little dub against UAB, but UAB did score 21 on them boys. Man, hey,
it was a hard fought dub.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can't forget. I mean, Quinn looking good as ever out there battling another Texas team moving forward. I was gonna say you can't forget the Florida State versus Clemson game. God, I was watching that game and First game, that's a great game to wake up to, noon, you're sitting there. Like, those are the games you hope for, because Clemson being an underdog against a Florida State team who in their first game looked like a national championship team, but they came out looking a lot more pedestrian. I mean, Jordan Travis, Johnny Wilson, those two guys, for some reason, they can't get it going all the time. And, you know, I think Keon Coleman he kind of was getting locked up. Trey Benson couldn't get it going. So that first half, these guys are competing with Clemson. I think Clemson's defense was out there really just booming those boys around, bro. And I think also Cade Klubnik came in and was trying to give, like, he was trying to give that team, like, his best game out there. He was doing a lot. He was running around a little bit. You know what I mean? He had a 17-yard run. Like, Will Shipley was doing his thing. Phil Maffa. Bro, it was crazy because I'm sitting there watching I'm watching the game, and I'm hoping Florida State wins the whole time. But they were selling for a little bit. Like, Clemson went on the board first, and then obviously they both scored. They scored 14. They both scored 14 in the second. And then that's kind of where they had to go into overtime, too. Like, it wasn't just set in stone. So, I don't know. Florida State's defense, they made a lot of big plays. They got a fumble recovery, things like that.
That damn near is the reason they even had a chance to win. There was Clemson would have scored on that drive. It probably would have been smooth sailing into the fourth quarter. Well, that was crazy. I seen a lot. That was
So, I mean, is Dabo done? Can we book the ending of Dabo? Is it really just jumping the gun? Is it more just that was a game he should have won, didn't end up winning? There was a few questionable fourth, like, I think there was like two or three. I don't know if they were third down calls or fourth down calls where he was just running Cade Klubnik, not even really giving it to Will Shipley, just like, and you got to ask yourself, like, Coach, what are you doing? Like, especially in there was times where he could have just ran the clock out and just kind of just held the ball and really maybe sit. It's not NFL football. It is college football. It's a different style. But I don't know. I think there was a few questionable things he could have done. I don't think you take his job just based off of that game or the season alone. But
he came out and said, I've won this ACC for the past 7 years, and I'm not going to win it the eighth. You guys are going to take my job already. Like, that's how quick it happens. So it was a lot of success. You feel me? It's going to take a lot more failures to really get Dabo out the door at Clemson. But they do. I don't want to put him in the hot seat. His seat's warming up a little bit. He definitely hit the first button in the car. You feel me? Not both the buttons, but just the one time. You feel me? His seat's getting a little warm on him. It's starting to heat up down there.
How many bad seasons? Like, we're already having the conversation where he's not getting those recruits. Like, he's one of those coaches who's really not out there in the portal all like that. He's trying to develop at home. And when you're trying to develop at home and you're upset because you're not winning your games, you get rid of your quarterback who's doing phenomenal at a totally different school, maybe because it's a smaller platform for that guy. We don't know. And Cade Klubnik isn't necessarily struggling, but you're 2-2. You know what I mean? Like, and I think when you're looking at the whole spectrum of it, Dabo needs to understand that it's not you won 7 years, now we're taking your job. It's more just we don't see an upside in the decline that's going on right now. We only see decline. And it's you're getting outplayed by a lot of these coaches, you know what I mean? And the ACC, you can't be losing three games like each year. And it's like you're talking about winning. And yeah, like sometimes it comes down to the end of the year where you're playing in that championship game, luckily, because of who you beat in your conference. But it's not boding well. Like, you're not about to put another team in the playoffs. So we need to either start finding another guy that's going to find the guys, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of schools would rather go through those down years than deal with a big face name and the media attention that comes with the decline.
Facts. You hit the nail on the head right there, bro. Couldn't say it better myself.
So, Florida State, shout out to them for getting the dub, man. But, wow. moving forward, I still don't think Florida State is that strong of a team. They're ranked at four. I don't think after this game with USC and Colorado, can you see them moving them up, or does USC, does this win now not even hold weight on USC's schedule? Last thing I really want to say about Colorado. Does that win hold weight on that schedule now for USC?
No, sadly. Especially if you get like a 31-17, you feel like, no, we just watch the team decimate them.
Tough. Yeah, that's tough. So is Colorado able to, like, if they put up a good fight against USC, does this boost their resume back up to get back on the ranked boards? Like,
sure, it has to. If they beat TCU, Nebraska, Big Ten, Colorado State, the rivalry game, then you get Oregon, who might really have a chance to win the Pac-12 at the end of it all. If you go in there and you give USC a game and you have a good rest of the season, you're competitive, you get 7-8 wins, they'll have to put you in the top 25. 20, and even if you're around the top 25 for Colorado, where they won two games last year. So, like, I really think they beat USC. You got to kind of maybe not catapult them as high as they were, but you definitely got to put them right back into that, okay, this isn't who we thought they were against Oregon type shit.
Let's see. Ohio State, man, doing what they do, pulling the win out against Notre Dame. Ryan Day coming at Lou Holtz at the end of the game. What you got to say about it, Cam?
I love a coach. I really do. I feel like I was telling you not too long ago on the phone, I feel like Deion coming into the game has kind of let these coaches realize, you know, I don't need to be all suit and tie professional with these cameramen. I can go out there and be myself a little bit. And we've seen it with Oregon's coach, Dan Lanning. After he beat Colorado, he let them hear about it. He got a whole bunch of bulletin material on the board for them next year. And same with Ryan Day. Tough game, crazy game, all the way down to the finish. A lot of shit said about Ohio State this past week, and coach was tired of it. Like, as the coach at Ohio State, you do speak for the team, but at the same time, a lot of people in Ohio identify with that team. So when Lou Holtz gets up there and says Ohio State is soft, it's like, slap in the face, you feel me? So I feel like coach did a good job of not only going out there and standing up for his guys, but actually representing the state and the school and what it actually stands for. And that, I really feel like a lot of people haven't seen that from Ryan Day yet. It's kind of just always been, oh, that's Urban Meyer's guy. You feel me? He hasn't really did anything that people can remember Ryan for. And that was like the very first time he ever looked in the camera and said, fuck you guys. I'm me. I'm Ryan. This team ain't soft. That's a tough ass team over there. So we'll see where it goes from there. I love it. I love the fire. You better stand on it, because you can't build that house and not stand on it.
Not for sure. They got out of there. Easy dub. Chip doing what he does. Penn State, shut out Iowa. Crazy.
For sure.
I think, is Penn State a strong team? Like, is that a team you need to watch out for? They finally got a new quarterback.
Drew Aller. Hell yeah. Drew. They're going to be a little bit tougher this year. I don't think they'll be as good as when they had Micah Parsons there on defense, but I feel like at DB, they'll definitely be able to keep up with what Ohio State does at receiver, and then their front seven is a little bit better too. So they'll be able to deal with Michigan's run attack and everything this year a lot better than they did last year. I'm not saying they're the best team in the Big Ten, but Penn State might shock a few people if Michigan and Ohio State don't come out playing when they got to play against them.
What else we got here? Washington. Michael Penix Jr., 4-0, looking like a star. Too old to be Heisman, or just old enough? I mean, Bo Nix is out there doing the same thing. No one's really complaining. I mean, you did. I know you've seen the picture. Bo Nix played at Auburn when Justin Herbert was still there. Justin Herbert's been in the league for 4 years. Now Bo Nix was able to have his own big game at Justin Herbert's alma mater, like 4 years later.
I didn't see that picture. That's so crazy to actually visualize. Bruh.
It's wild.
I think Michael Penix Jr. is having a year, a great year. I also think Washington is probably the most slept on good football team in America right now. Like, even myself, I'll be honest, I haven't watched Washington play yet. But, like, I've watched the highlights on YouTube and everything, and I'm sitting there like, oh, these guys might be able to get on the field with the Florida State or Clemson and run them out of there, easy money. You know what I mean? So, obviously, they got some good games coming up on their schedule. I'm pretty sure they got to play Oregon this year, USC. I'm pretty sure they play Oregon in 2 weeks. That's going to be the game that everybody has their eye on. We'll see if they're battle-tested or not once they get to that part of their schedule and everything. Right now, Michael Penix Jr., he might be the one holding up that trophy in New York when it's all said and done. It's crazy because you called it. You called that shit like last year.
He's golden, y'all. Try to tell you. Seen it all the way back in Indiana, man. Look, what else we got here? Arkansas played a real close game to LSU. LSU pulls it out with just a field goal to go ahead. I think LSU needs to take a look in the mirror once again. Not shitting on Arkansas, but that is an unranked team. They're playing they're playing real close games. LSU's ranked 12. Do they even move up in the rankings for that? They're technically ranked over Alabama. Better than Ole Miss.
Wow.
Yeah. LSU 12, Alabama 13, Ole Miss 15, Oregon State 14, like 12, 13, 14, 15, all in that range. Oregon State ended up taking a loss to Washington State by 3. Just talking about DJU and he ends up going down, man. It sucks. It really does.
Still a good start for DJ, though. I'm happy for him. DJ, he deserved to get out of what's going on in Clemson right now. He's in a better spot.
Drake May wanted to go to that game. He took Pitt out pretty smoothly. Nothing really to say there. Tennessee gets another dub. I swear there was another game. Florida, back on the rankings, though. Ranked 25, 3-1. Can Florida move back up? Especially with how weak the SEC is looking right now. Tennessee's 23, 3-1. Like, is the SEC wide open?
Yes. The most wide open it's ever been. Ever been.
I think Alabama's got a chance early.
To win. I think Alabama's got a chance to win it. And they look, like, actually bad. But I really feel like they still have a solid chance to get it together and go on a run and win 9 games straight and win that bitch out.
Can you name $20? Can you name all 3 undefeated teams in the SEC?
In the SEC?
Yes. Bonus 30 for a total of 50 if you can name the team who doesn't have a conference win and is somehow still
4-0. Okay. I'm pretty sure Missouri is still undefeated. I know Georgia's still undefeated.
He got the hard one. Okay. He got Missouri. I like that.
I know Georgia's still undefeated. Okay. I can't get that third one for you. I can't. I'm not even going to lie. I'm going to go through all the names before I get the right one.
I think you can. I'm actually surprised you didn't get this one first. I wouldn't have been able to just call out Missouri like that. That's a good no to know. Georgia, Missouri. Oh, it's Kentucky.
Hey, let's go. I didn't think I was
ding, 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 ding. There you go. Now, which one of those teams has not had a conference win?
I think, is it Kentucky? That might be wrong. Is Mizzou or is it Georgia?
Mizzou.
I was going with Kentucky, final answer.
Mizzou has not played a conference game yet.
Okay.
Out there. 4-0. Missouri, who have you been playing? I didn't know that was free money out there. Okay. They've been playing it close a little bit. They played South Dakota, got that dub easily. And MTSU got that dub. Kansas State only won by 3, but hey, a dub's a dub.
Okay.
They're playing, and then they played Memphis. I didn't know Memphis. What's Memphis? ACC team or something?
I'm pretty sure they're that AAC, yeah.
Okay. So then, yeah, they played Memphis 34-27. I mean, going up against they got, like, I think their whole rest of their schedule might be SEC games. Hold on.
That should be fun.
So, I mean, look, Missouri, though, going up the first game, going up against Missouri, you can get tickets as low as $9.
For the Missouri game, that's sweet.
Missouri versus Vanderbilt. Come on, bruh. That's a hey.
Game of the week.
Look for that to be a crazy game. Then they play LSU.
Okay.
You can get tickets for $80. Then they play Kentucky. Hey, at Kentucky. Guys, first of all, you can get tickets right now for as low as $47. That might be a steal of a game to look into. Just saying, go to Kentucky. Look, hear me out. Kentucky versus undefeated Mizzou. If they can take out Vanderbilt and then upset LSU, we might be looking at the best Missouri team we've seen in a long time. Then they go into Kentucky. Then after that, they play South Carolina. Then they play Georgia, Tennessee, Florida, Arkansas. The schedule gets rough, boys. But, hey, I could easily see them beating Rattler, Milton, and they could easily beat Florida. Like, we could be looking at hey, if they take out Kentucky and LSU, all they got to do is take one out of Georgia. We could be looking at a team. I don't want to hype it up too early. It's normally easy to predict these SEC things when you really start looking at the schedules all together. I mean, they're still not even the best team in the East, technically. Like, it goes Georgia, Kentucky, Florida, South Carolina, and that's with South Carolina with two losses.
SEC dub, though.
Facts. Matters. So, don't want to hype up the SEC too much. Just look out for that, man. Didn't know Missouri was out there doing their thing like that.
Mizzou.
What else we got in here? I think that was the last college game we needed to cover. It's NFL time, boys.
Let's go.
Clap it up. The league. All right. What do we got here, man? So, it was week 3, tail of the fucking tape. No one could have predicted what this week was sizing up to be. It started off Niners, Giants, Niners doing what they do best, taking out the Giants in pretty orderly fashion. Deebo Samuel kind of making a resurgence, 6 receptions, 129 yards, 1 touchdown. Then we woke up Sunday morning to the Brownies taking on the Titans. Ended up knocking those boys out the water for real. No Nick Chubb. We re-signed Kareem Hunt. And they get it going. I don't even think they even ran Kareem Hunt like that.
Oh.
Now I'm looking. Yeah, they gave Reem the ball 5 times and he only rushed for 13 yards.
Okay.
Sean Watson had more yards than he.
Damn.
But they gave it to a nigga named Pierre Strong and Jerome Ford. They're kind of.
That's surprising. I thought the reason they signed him was because he knew the playbook and everything. He was just there last year. You think he'd come right in and just get the ball?
You would think, man. But hey, in this league, we're not doing it like that anymore. We might run the quarterback more than we run that running back. So.
Stop.
What else we got in here? Tannehill, really pedestrian of a game, only 104 yards. Like, I don't know if the Browns' defense came to fucking play or they what, did. But Derrick Henry, 11 carries, 20 yards. I'm pretty sure it was bad. It was a bad day. They were talking about drug testing Myles Garrett as soon as the game was over. They were all over Derrick.
Man.
Come on, y'all. What else we got in here? We have Lions taking out the Falcons 20-6. Lions coming into their own.
I think
7-1.
So.
7-1.
For sure. Gotta respect them at least when you walk into that stadium now. It's not just what it used to be. way back in the day, an average team that's going to fight to the end and find a way to lose. I don't know. They're winning games, they got a culture, all that.
No, that's facts. Dan Campbell really doing his thing out there. And just when you thought the Lions were going to be the best team in the division, the Packers pull it out against the Saints, reluctantly enough. Is it the Jordan Love effect? Because he rallied to an 18-17 win.
It was a win. It was a good win.
Derek Carr had a shoulder injury, and he took full advantage of that.
I think Jordan Love is definitely benefiting from how great of a coach Matt LaFleur is. And obviously the team around him has been built for the past like 10 years. The defense is pretty damn good. The line's still pretty solid. And so Jordan was kind of dropped into a pretty good situation for a new guy to be in. A lot better than what Justin Fields is going through. I'll say that.
So, Jordan Love sat the bench for 2 years. Is this a good effect? Like, is Trey Lance going to be fine wine by the time Dak Prescott goes down? Or is it more just, this is just talent that was already had. Lambeau knew what they had. They just needed time for it to cook. Like, or is now just the league built for Jordan Love? Like, you know, I think sometimes, like, we overestimate what these quarterbacks are experiencing. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes we need to wait for their DBs that they played in college to get back into the league, things like that.
Right.
Like, they're not ready for the speed, and sometimes they come in 2 years later, all of a sudden it's a whole different league, and they're ready to go. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't say it's slowed down, or maybe they've sped up. So, I think
Jordan Love, it was more the first one you said. It definitely, when you take them 2 years, when you come in, I feel like kind of gives you time to mature, but also kind of get ingratiated with what you're actually doing, like learning the offense, knowing the calls, being comfortable with everybody that's around, dealing with all the people you got to deal with. Because like you said, when you're Trevor Lawrence coming into the Jaguars organization 2 years ago, like, you're literally the Ferrari parked outside of the trailer. And nothing but bad things going on around you. So I definitely feel like we're going to see a lot more of the, if we got a good quarterback, let's let this rookie sit for a little bit, and more teams will start taking it that route. But, you know, if a guy's talented enough and you can't keep him off the field, they're going to put him on the field. So Jordan Love will come in and Aaron Rodgers will be leaving, but he'll still be the same.
He was the leading rusher in that game.
Wow. Bad day for AJ Dillon, huh?
For both teams. Isn't that wild? He had 39 rushing yards on the same amount of carries the guy from the Saints had. A.J. Dillon had 2 more carries than him and only had 33 yards. Are running backs just not as useful? Is it the schemes we're drawing up? Are D-lines just that effective now in the NFL? I mean, Cam Jordan is on that defensive line on the Saints, but I mean, A.J. Dillon carried the ball 11 times and couldn't go longer than Jordan Love. Jordan Love went for 24 yards. And that's not to say Jordan Love obviously probably got that in the effect of a pass. You know what I mean? I don't know if it was designed or not. It probably just was a broke down pass play. You can obviously open up a lot more yardage for yourself than a running back ever could.
Right.
Just because of timing. But I mean, this is a trend that's just been happening in every game. It's just we're seeing quarterbacks with 20 plus yards, 30 plus yards, and they're being the second leading rusher on the team, leading rusher in the game. Like Jordan Love, leading rusher in the game, plus or minus on that was probably like plus 5,000. Like, what are the odds? What the fuck are the odds? Yeah. The quarterback from where is he at, Cam? Washington State or something, you said?
Utah State,
excuse me. The kid from Utah State is going to rush for more yards than A.J. Dillon tonight.
Hey, that is tough. They got to figure it out. These running backs are tripping right now.
It's tough. I'm not even really trying to blame it all on the running backs, though. It could just be the coaches. Like, they're scheming. Like, these old linemen even aren't they aren't trying to run block anymore. They just want to drop back, bro.
I believe you.
It's tough, bro. Like, you got to think of how much time, like, I was sitting there really watching the old lineman. Like, there's a lot of false starts because, bro, it's tough trying to get down in that fucking position for that long, bro. Like, D-line, man, at least you can toot your ass up and kind of just get the pop. You can move around. You there, bro. Old lineman, you have to be stiff as a fucking brick sitting there fucking waiting. And you got what's-his-face back here fucking tapping you on your ass, telling you three fucking things. Can we get an O-line shift in here? Fuck no. He's shifting. Bruh. Receivers are running back and forth, chopping their feet, waiting for the play to start, bruh. Like, it's real life tough out there for the O-line sometimes. And then by the time you say fucking hike, like, bro, no, I'm not trying to fucking kick off and push forward and try to block for this motherfucker, especially when he's just done it. Like, bro, and running backs do that, run into the man right in front of them and fall down. Like, this is war of attrition. Let me just get 4 or 5 yards. Let me not fuck up the game plan. Like, can't move too quick. Like, bro, no, bro. Like, the low linemen, they just want to sit back, wait, hut, back up. It gives them more time. They can literally extend their legs and then boom a motherfucker if they got to. And then, like, right. Obviously you do get that where it's this motherfucker's now he's coming at you and you're stepping back, so it's even harder. I don't know. Then play old lineman. I'm just stating what I'm
saying. You know, everything you just said is, I can watch this on the TV and see what you're saying, bro. Like, it feels, especially when I'm watching the Bears, the damn Broncos, like, just some of these these bad teams are just, like you just said, bro, it kind of feels like the effort on these runs ain't there. We'll get 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 3 or something. It's like, we're getting tackled for 2 yards for loss, unblocked guys coming off the line. Some of these Bears games, like, I definitely hear you. It's a lot harder of a job a run block than it ever was the pass block. And I'm sure all them linemen are definitely happy when they get that pass play, for sure.
Facts, though, man. Moving forward, doozy of the weekend, Dolphins route Broncos 70-20, scoring the most points in an NFL team since 1966. And honestly, they probably could have, they literally could have broke the record. The only reason they didn't, just for class, I think Sean Payton is what, like a, he's one of those, I don't know, he's a good coach, right? Like, you put him up there, he's probably going to be a Hall of Fame coach. I don't know after this, but.
Real, I mean, bro.
Tua, I'm pretty sure, like, throughout the whole first half, he didn't throw an incompletion. Like, the guy only threw 3 incompletions that 3 day. 309 yards, 4 touchdowns. Devon Achane had 2 rushing touchdowns. Raheem Mostert had 3. And Raheem got one through the air. Tariq got one through the air. Robbie Chosen got one through the air. And Achane got 2 through the air. Bro, Achane and... Let me see.
Was it all offense? They got 70 points off the offense. That is crazy, crazy.
There was no defensive touchdowns.
That is insane.
The kicker did get 10 points.
Oh, okay.
There was a defensive touchdown by... Oh, no, that was a kick return. Marvin Mims did have a kick return to make it a little bit better for the for the Broncos. Marvin, I told you 2 weeks ago, I said Marvin Mims? Question mark. Are we not going to get the guy involved? The guy is a game fucking changer. But, I mean, wow. The love of the running back. See, this is the type of, like, 18 for 203. Raheem, 13 for 82.
They're still running.
They're still scoring. Tyreek, this still 9 for 157. Somehow doesn't have the most yards in the league this year. Right up under Justin Jefferson. If I'm not mistaken, I think I seen that right. I was looking earlier. The league's getting crazy, y'all. Chargers taking out the Vikings. Vikings 0-3. When do the Vikings get their first win?
Next year.
I'll tell you their schedule. Next week they do play Bryce Young and the Panthers. Can you are you sipping the Kool-Aid? Can Bryce Young do it?
I hope you
pray not. Come on.
I think the Vikings they should get this week for sure. You're 0-3. I'm pretty sure there's only been like three teams that started off 0-3 and even got to the Super Bowl, let alone win it. You don't want to be here. I mean, if you are here, you definitely look into that locker room. You see Justin Jefferson, Kirk Cousins, defense doing all right. It's not like they're dealing with nothing. They got some offense out there. They just got the kid Jordan Addison from Pitt. It's just a matter of actually, you got to find a way to get a win. And especially in this league where you have that much talent on your roster at the skill positions. Like, you're not going to keep a guy like Justin Jefferson around forever if you're losing forever. I got to figure it out for sure.
Their next three games, you got Panthers, Chiefs, Bears. You can see them, going 2-1 in that stretch?
Minimum.
They could be 2-4. And then they got Niners, Packers, Falcons. What, another 2-1 situation? So now we're 4-5 at that point?
Yep.
So now it's looking like we're turning it around.
Man, we're here. We got a chance for the second half of the season. That's all you can hope for at this point, really.
Then we got Saints, Broncos, Bears. Boom. We're back in it. 3 in a row. Unless the Saints really take us out. Like, unless we really fumble the bag during one of those teams, and it's Bengals, Lions, Packers, Lions. Like, hey, they could have a good ending of the season and things could turn around. Kirk Cousins is leading the NFL right now in passing yards. He could be the leader towards the end of the season. You could probably book that. I don't know what the betting odds for that are, but
man.
Kirk Cousins, MVP year, maybe.
How do you feel about Justin Jefferson getting his touchdown?
I actually bet that. I forgot to mention. I put that on a parlay. I said, this is the week he's going to get his touchdown. We're 3 weeks, and let me look at his yards real quick. Because if he gets does he have to get under 150 just to score a touchdown?
It feels like it.
He got 149 yards. The analytics don't lie. Had he got one more yard, he would have not walked into that fucking end zone. Oh. You can book that shit, bro. If you want your favorite player, Justin Jefferson, to score a touchdown, just pray to God he doesn't have a 150-yard day. I mean, he has those week after week after week. 3 weeks in a row, he's had damn near 150 yards. He had 159 last game to make up for this 149-yard game this week. The guy is on fire. I'm not hating on him. I'm just letting y'all know the man does not walk into that end zone unless he's getting under 149 yards. So,
facts.
Jesus Christ.
He'll put up 23 fantasy points for you. No tugs.
Oh, man, bro. Like, sometimes it's just right there in your face. You can see it. Like, the guy's goated. Justin Herbert, though, 405 yards, 40 for 47, 3 touchdowns. Keenan Allen threw a touchdown pass, 49-yarder.
Are we done with the Justin Herbert hate yet? Like,
no.
No? What does the kid got a 400?
Guys, he's 1-2. The Vikings blew this game. I mean, I'm not giving him clout. Keenan Allen's going crazy, though. He was 18 for 215. Keenan Allen is back. I remember sitting back this year and remembering a few nuggets, and guys were telling me two nuggets Brett told me about was James Conner and Keenan Allen. I could have easily had both these guys on my team. How lethal would you be with both these guys? Keenan Allen making a resurgence. Mike Williams getting hurt, but still 121 yards. I don't know who the Vikings – I just said the Vikings are playing the Panthers next week. I don't know, y'all. Look at these numbers. Bryce Young might have a real fucking field day if he can put his head on straight. These passing yards are crazy. But, yeah, Keenan Allen having a great day. second leading rusher for the day was Justin Herbert. Josh Kelly, 11 carries for 12 fucking yards, bro. Justin Herbert, 2 carries for 11 yards.
Wow.
His longest run was 12 yards. Joshua Kelly's longest run was 4 yards. Justin Herbert lost a yard doing an extra run. His longest run was just as long as Josh Kelly put up all fucking day. Where's Austin Ekeler? Like, that's wild. I'm sorry. I know it's hard. I know it's hard to run in the NFL, but come on, dude. What are we doing? That was too much time spent on that game. Let me go back. Because there's a few other games I want to get to. It's ridiculous. Those Vikings, man. Patriots taking out the Jets. Bill Belichick doing what Bill Belichick does. It's a divisional game. The Jets are 1-2. Patriots are 1-2. Can you see the, like, let me ask you this. Are the Patriots going to have a good season? Are they just going to be that mediocre fly the handle? Probably don't expect to beat us team. But if you do beat us, it was because we gave it our all. Or for sure. are they gonna take Zeke Elliott, turn him into something, and just take this group of kind of no names and actually be a playoff team?
Playoffs is tough just because of the division they're in. Like, even against the Jets, you're going up against a good ass defense, and they just have Zach Wilson. And you gotta go up the Bills, go up against the Dolphins.
Miami. Yeah.
They're killing everything right now. I mean, if you're New England, I mean, you're obviously, you know, you got the Patriot way and everything. You got Bill Belichick still. So, like, nobody's ever going to just come in there and run all over you. And Breece Hall had a terrible game for me in fantasy. They locked him up. But you feel me? New England's always going to be New England. Nobody's going to walk in there and get the dub. Mac Jones does need to pick up his level of play. I'm pretty sure he went viral again because he freaking punched somebody in the no-no zone, which he did last year. He kicked somebody in the no-no zone. He's going viral for the wrong thing. He start throwing some damn touchdowns.
I'm so weak. It's not looking good for those, for certain Alabama quarterbacks right now. We got the Bills taking out the Commanders in orderly fashion, almost shutting them out. Commanders get 3 on the board just to save face. Josh Allen, is he back?
I pray so. I feel like they gave us too much to hope for in their first two games. So, like, people kind of thought, even Vegas had the line really close. I'm pretty sure the Bills were only favored by, like, 3. And the Bills come in there and just freaking run them off the field. Sam Howell looks like he's never touched a football in his life. Like,
4 interceptions.
That's what I'm saying. The defense got me 32 points in fantasy. I forgot to even bring the defense out of day, like 8 sacks, something crazy like that.
So, like, is that really then a tribute to, like, can you, I don't know, that's what I was going to say, is it now then on the defense? Like, that was just Josh Allen didn't have shit to do with the dub. Is it really just a defensive day? Like, 4 interceptions, it's hard to really bring up offense. Like,
man, and what can you say as the offense?
We had one defensive touchdown. It was a pick 6. And then I think Josh Allen, what, he put one in, and there was two rushing touchdowns. So they held Brian Robinson to, I think, the least amount of yards he's had all year.
Sheesh. I honestly didn't think the Bills would look this good without Tremaine Edmonds. Or I think, is it Chase Edmonds or Tremaine Edmonds? Whichever Edmonds brother they lost. It was Tremaine, bro. Last year, he was the guy that kind of picked everything up in the run game. He freaking was really good at getting to the flats and getting to his zone in the passing game. Like, he was an experienced veteran out there on defense. When you lose something like that, I kind of expect you to take a step back. And they actually, in some fat form, they look a little bit better than they did last year on that side of the ball. Definitely, you don't got to do shit when you're Josh Allen. You look at the defense and tell them, hey, you got to do that every.
I got you. I got you. Nah, I definitely feel that. You definitely got to go out there, like you said, do that every time. Finish the game off. Especially do it right, man. Like, people out here don't understand that the Bills should be, one, they should be undefeated, I think. Two, the Bills should have won a Super Bowl like a year ago, even. Like, they were pretty stacked up, ready to go. Like, I just think this is a team that keeps getting in their own way. And if this isn't the year to pull it off, then I don't know what is. Man. Josh Allen, if he can't get this MVP this year, when are we ever going to get it to him? He's on the cover of Madden now. Nah. People are saying he's got the Madden curse. Like, things just aren't looking good for the team.
Yeah, he hasn't played all year yet, I don't think.
You got – who wasn't like playing? Do. Was that Von Miller who wasn't playing? Von. Moving forward, Texans.
First win. I wanted to bet on it so bad, but I stayed away from it. I said, if I could bet my money on it.
For the O?
Yes. Yes, we had to get that boy out of there. Not only did they draft Trevor Lawrence to Clemson, the man we hate the most, they then hired Urban Meyer and blamed everything on him, bro. It made our coach look like he was a damn fool, bro. Yeah, that was for the O. That was for the O. CJ's first win had to come against them. It was the script. You feel me? It was the prophecy, the narrative, all that.
Should have booked it. We got Colts, Ravens. This is another one. I was sitting there. I knew going into the game that the Colts were going to beat the Ravens. I seen them posting a little too much about the Ravens during the week. I was like, I'm not drinking the Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking it. I know Gardner's gonna go out there. He got me the dub in overtime.
Is crazy. And win. Hey. They beat every time I hear Gardner Minshew starting today, I know they're winning. And they win every time. Like, is he just the guy you keep ready for when your quarterback gets hurt? Oh, fuck it, we need to win this week. Let's throw Gardner in, or is he gonna get a job again somewhere?
Yes. Gardner's always prepared. He parties a little too much to be the starting quarterback. He's a guy, though. He's a guy you can count on when you need him. And that's something some people are just too reliable to have in the game at all times. It's just crazy, bro. Like, Gardner just isn't. He's not going to be the starting option for you for 2 years in a row. Like, you could maybe give him a full year. Gardner definitely deserves a full year out there, but it's more just like he'll eventually get figured out. Teams aren't that scared of him. Right. They're scared of him when they don't have to see him that often because it's subtle. It's just, oh, fuck, and then he just comes out there and he's dotting you up. But when you start the game plan for Minshew, like, it's just things are a little bit easier. So shout out to him filling in. Shout out to him for filling in. He's done it many times out there in Philly, so I'm glad he could come out here to Indy and do the same thing. Mm. Andy Dalton had to fill in last week for Bryce Young. Panthers losing to the Seahawks. Ooh. Geno not writing back. Adam Thielen, though, having a resurgence game. And shame on me, because I knew. Andy Dalton is literally one of those. He's the same thing as Sam Darnold. Mm. Two touchdowns, over 200 yards. You can book that from those guys. But they're going to throw a pick, and literally, Andy Dalton, 361, two touchdowns. I wanted to put it on there, but I was like, I'm going to just leave it alone. I just left it be. I knew the Seahawks could pull that out, though. It was a close game. It definitely was a close game, but you know, in that minute of getting it done, Kenneth Walker does what Kenneth Walker does. Bears. 0-3. We talked about it last week.
I do want to say they looked a little bit. Definitely, I want to say the play calls looked a lot better. I watched that game from start to finish because I want to see what they're doing differently. They haven't designed no runs for Justin yet, but like the 2 weeks before, they were just doing crazy things that had never been done before. And like they definitely got back to the basics of just get the ball out quick, drop back, run between the tackles. Like they didn't really try anything too outlandish for real. Which that's what I feel like the Bears should focus on right now. Like they weren't going to beat the Chiefs, but at least they got that out of it. We didn't go out there and try no bullshit.
Nah, that's facts. Chiefs doing
Taylor Swift, don't forget her.
doing what they do. Travis Kelce, Isaiah Pacheco, everybody was getting involved. Great day. Taylor, hey girl. Welcome to the NFL. Love to have you around.
Man.
You know, love to have you on the show or something.
You get a 400% boost in merch sales.
Things y'all got going on. I mean, we're Swifties.
I'm a Swiftie.
Are we Swifties? I know Cam is a Swiftie. I may be a Katy Perry fan, but we can talk about it, Taylor. We can sit down and you can play me a few more of your songs, and I'm open. Look, probably, obviously, everybody knows the craziest thing of the weekend was the 70 ball on the Broncos, but probably the craziest thing, you know, probably one of, like, the thing you weren't expecting to happen. You know what I mean? The thing that really turned the league upside down this week was Josh Dobbs
crazy.
Getting the dub against the Cowboys. Balled out on those boys. Balled out. Wasn't even a night game. This was a 4 o'clock game. Dak Prescott. If you're looking at the stats, it wasn't even that bad of a game. I'm not even sure what really happened. But Josh Dobbs was running all over the place. James Conner was running all over the place.
Trayvon Diggs got hurt last week and everything.
Did Micah Parsons play?
I think they were missing.
No way. He said he was throwing darts at Josh Dobbs. I know you've seen the meme. Josh Dobbs was the second leading rusher in that game. He had 55 yards, Cam. Rondell Moore had 54. They must have just been running to the outside. And wow.
No, I didn't even. Wow. I'll be honest. I couldn't even really catch any of that game. But I did see the highlights on YouTube and everything.
Wow, Micah.
Man, the Cardinals looked like a totally different team than they did that first 2 weeks. It was in the Cardinals stadium. And, like, bro, the stadium was rocking. Like, you would not have thought the Cardinals were 0-2, season on the line, no starting quarterback. The stadium was lit. Mm-hmm.
So, does that team win regardless? Because Kyler obviously is a Texas boy. You know what I mean? So, it's like, is
you
that,
can set
that,
it in stone?
That set in stone for the
I
Cardinals?
I think it's just crazy how they whooped their ass. But, like, it was
– if you're Kyler
– Dak, you got to do better. Like, we're letting Josh Dobbs come in here and get his name in the mix before you come out here and have a good game, bro. Like –
I was hating on Josh. I said, go get Teddy. Fuck Josh. So, Kyler Murray, are you rushing back?
He's mental health, so I'm sure he's not rushing back to nothing. But, I mean, you definitely – that feels good for the Cardinals as an organization. You lose your coach, quarterback's hurt, if you D-hop left, it's, everything just got pulled out from under you, and it feels like just 3 years ago you were 6-0, looking like one of the best teams in the league. You feel me? Get that win against the Cowboys, who look like they've been decimating things all year. You definitely, as a Cardinal fan, you sit there like, thank God, we got something to look back on this season and be happy for. Going into the future, they definitely still got a lot of things they got to get fixed. But that's definitely something that they can build off of, and we'll see what they do in these next few games.
All right, man, we're coming to the end. Three more games left. Raiders
called
losing to the Steelers. Jimmy G had three interceptions, 23-18. The Steelers go on to win. Kenny Pickett with two passing touchdowns. Najee Harris didn't have that bad of a game. Devontae Adams, though, I know he's upset. I know the guy had 13 receptions, 172 yards. Excuse me.
Cameraman had to really hide in the locker room while he was
going home. With
walking
Manel.
Up the tunnel. Okay, now it's not starting. It's
Jimmy
starting
G
to not
was
make
the
sense.
Second leading rusher get... for the Raiders, but
okay,
there was only two rushers. There was only two rushers: Josh Jacobs and then Jimmy G. So, and it's not that close. Like Jimmy G only had 7 yards. Josh Jacobs had 62. I mean, it was on 17 carries, but that is a great. Great Steelers defensive line. And you know Mike Tomlin was hungry for a win. Going positive. showing the people that he's not gone. He's not going anywhere. Because I know a lot of people were just making it seem like Mike Tomlin, he's probably going to go 500, mm-hmm. but he's going to struggle to get there. And Mike's showing them, maybe not. Maybe not.
Yeah.
They've only lost to the Niners, and that was a game they were supposed to lose.
Man.
Eagles, Buccaneers, Baker, finally looking pedestrian. Jalen Hurts, still running into that end zone. DeAndre Swift, back-to-back 100-yard games. A.J. Brown, finally getting involved.
Ooh.
They got the Eagles the worst 3-0 team?
There's only three teams undefeated left. The Dolphins, them, and I forget the other one. But either way, yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and say, yeah. I mean, against the Patriots, they looked a little bit iffy. It took everything to come together before they finally pulled that one off, and the Patriots probably did that to themselves. And the next week, they played against the Vikings. It started off terrible. It looked like they couldn't get the ball moving, and then Jalen Hurts found his receivers finally in the second quarter. And this past week, we've seen what we've seen. Definitely Philly, they're still the best run offense in the league. They're still probably the best defense all around in the league as far as doing things against them. Other than those two things, though, you're not really in fear of what they can do. Like, I feel like that's just me. I'm kind of biased against them. I'm not a big Eagle fan. But I just feel like most teams, when you got Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow, I even throw Justin Herbert in there who doesn't have the team around him. I mean, you really got to pay attention a lot. With the back end, you got to run nickel scheme, dime scheme, this, that, and third. When you got Jalen Hurts, it's kind of easier to defend all that if he's not having a good game throwing the ball. So I feel like he'll definitely play better over the next half of the year. But if you don't, you might see Philly lose some games that nobody was expecting to lose. You better start betting against them soon.
Philly, don't do it to us. Last game. That was technically a Monday night game. The other Monday night game we had was the Rams, Bengals. Bengals finally getting a dub this year, but still, Puka Nacua doing what he does best. A lot of guys didn't think this kid was going to be much. Had a 72-yard game instead of a 100-yard game. A little bit pedestrian for Puka. But still a good night. Kyron. Kyron only had 38 yards that game. So Rams looked a lot more stoppable than they had the past 2 weeks, especially with Matt Ryan throwing two picks. Matt Stafford, excuse me. I'm over here giving them different names. My bad. What else we got here? I mean, Joe Burrow looked a little bit better. Threw it 49 times, 26. I mean, just a little bit over 50%. For completion, I mean, that's a guy who's known for throwing it like 63 times in his first game. So he's no stranger to throwing that ball. Living the mix, had an okay game, nothing too crazy. Jamar Chase, 12 for 141. No touchdown, though, for Jamar. No touchdown. They played pretty good for a Monday night game. It was kind of boring. I'll say that for sure. The Rams had a whole bunch of field goals, which definitely helped me out. There was a whole bunch. I don't think there might have been one touchdown scored in this game. If I'm looking correctly, because I was sitting there. I was just telling my buddy. I was telling my buddy at work. I was like, they might not even have a touchdown scored in the whole game. Matt Stafford did end up throwing one to Tutu Atwell. That still wasn't enough to give them the dub.
Man, what a week.
Beep, beep. So, run in, now run. What a week. Week three, I'm excited for week four. It only makes me more excited for week four just because of how pandemonious week three really was. Definitely some hitters out there. There's going to be some guys that are doing a big Thursday night game. We got a good one, folks. Lions, Packers.
It's over for them. Game of the division,
in
too.
Lambeau. It's over
for. We got to get that win. Who would you play of the week, though,
Lambeau.
Bro? Offensively. Oh, he'd have a night.
Player of the week. I think I seen the NFL's player of the week. It ended up being A-Chain. But I mean, like, only because he did have more, he had more yards than Raheem all around. All right. I'd probably give it to him. Just the guy's making a name for himself, you know, so you definitely got to give it to him. I'm trying to think if there's really anybody else I would want to actually give it to. Maybe just Tua. Like, is Tua out there really staying poised? I mean, yeah, it's the Broncos. I mean, is it really someone you got to stay poised against?
No, it's Gardner. Gardner wins. Easy.
Gardner.
I was going to throw CJ in there. I was going to throw CJ Stroud in there.
Ravens, first up, or Josh Dobbs yard. Even. Getting that double against
Gudo.
CJ. Honorable mention for CJ, for sure. Shout out to the Bengals. They finally got a dub. Maybe it's them, man. Only team I really would not have seen going 0-3. I mean, the Vikings as well. But if you would have told me the Bengals weren't going to get a dub, I would have laughed at you. Bears, please go out there and get a fucking dub. Please. But I'm trying to think, man. I think that's all I got. I had a few screenshots. But there's a few things I just wanted to pick out. A few
Twitter.
Things I've seen from Twitter from this week that just had me, my mind blown. I know you guys seen, this was Instagram, but I know you've seen the letter Colin Kaepernick wrote to the Jets. Hopefully the Jets maybe pick him up. It's bad out there. Like, no. Fans are yelling at Zach Wilson. These tickets ain't cheap, Zach, bro.
I don't know.
Hey, that shit at me, bro. Zach! Come on, Zach! Rob Salah! What are we doing? Zach, man!
It's
cheap, Zach! That's exactly how the video went. I'm like, what do you do, bro? Like, you're 23. Like, if someone at work told me, these boxes ain't cheap, man. I don't know. I don't know what I say. So, and then Kyle Pitts. This was I wouldn't even call this like the ending story of the weekend, but it's something to bring up. There's a lot of underutilized players out there, and the underutilized player of the week, Kyle Pitts. Dov Kleiman, real controversial guy. It says, hold on. I'll just read the whole thing. Falcons will not trade former fourth overall pick tight end Kyle Pitts, despite rumors about it via Slater NFL. Mm. When asked, the source told LOL, no way would they trade Kyle Pitts. Pitts has 9 catches in 3 games this season after only catching 28 last season. Guys are catching about 5 balls a game. What's 5 times 17, man? Let's do 4 because he's a tight end. Okay. That's 68. He should have at least 40 more catches. Come on now. And that's not even, and we know, like, that's not even to say he's just dropping 40 balls and he did get those targets. Like, no, he's not even getting the target. And then he's only scored 3 touchdowns in the 3 years he's been in the NFL and is criminally
being underutilized. Every single word of that is true.
So look, man, if you know a player that's being criminally underutilized, comment down below. We're looking to represent these players and get these guys in the game. Get these guys some touches, man. I'm trying to get on the phone with Audie Smith. Who do I need to talk to get Kyle Pitt? Do we need to get him and Ritter in a room together? And do they need to duke it out? I don't know, man.
What a week.
But
another great week.
If you don't got anything else, man, that's all I got for me, man.
It's only going to get crazier from here. Quarter of the season through, I think. About. This will be the quarter week. Either way, y'all know what it is. OverX. Y'all fam. We gang. We're going to always stay the same. Make sure y'all like, comment, subscribe. Do what y'all got to do. And we're going to keep this content coming out for y'all.
Smart Shop.
Hey.
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 It's crazy, man. College football, more college football content coming, so don't worry, y'all. If the drums didn't tell you, I'm going to tell you.